Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 77 of the Dumb Knight Podcast.
Greetings.
Hi. It's the end of the month.
It is.
So, today is, what's today? Tuesday? The 30th.
Oh, it's the 30th, right. Yes.
Yes. So, it's the last day of April, so I will be locking the Deep Stash Knit Along FO thread and chatter thread for this period, the March-April period. And drawing prizes tomorrow and starting the new threads. So right. Continue as usual. Post your stuff there. That's my cat.
Yes.
And I think that's pretty much it.
Cool.
For that thing. It seems like people are finishing lots and lots of stuff. So
I've seen a lot. I'm inspired. You will see from my projects that I'm inspired.
And I don't have any idea what prizes will be for the next thing, but they'll be at the top of the thread in the first post once they're decided.
We figure it out.
Yeah. But we both went to Vogue Knitting Live.
Yes, we did.
It seems like so long ago.
I know. It feels like forever ago.
Yeah.
And we met lots of listeners, which was lovely. Thank you,
people would come in. We were working at the booth, and we were talking about Jeff, who lives at home.
Yeah.
We both watched it, and someone was like, oh my God, it's just like your podcast.
Right.
Which is really funny. Like, because that's what we do.
That is what we do. It's like, I've said it before. It just always is so funny to me that people actually like listen to these things because it's just the two of us sitting around talking the way we always talk.
Yep.
You know, you just come and hang out and listen to us talk whenever.
I know.
It just sounds like this.
If you're in Seattle, you can come to our knitting night and hear it in person.
That's right.
And if my sister's
in live show,
you can hear it like me in stereo.
That's
pretty
true,
freaky.
Yeah.
So we went to Vogue Knitting Live.
Yeah.
And I bought lots of yarn.
Did you?
I bought a bit. Most of it was from Melanie.
Yeah.
She was right across
from us. We were right across from Black Trillium. So that was my only purchase, was from Melanie too. But because we were just sitting there staring at her yarn all week.
Well, she had gradient sets, and I ended up buying the same one that Sonia. Hi, Sonia.
Hi, Sonia.
Who owns Stash in Corvallis.
Already started knitting hers.
I know.
I saw it on Instagram. Because
we're going to knit the same thing. Because we were emailing back and forth. So
I see.
I think I'm going to take it to the retreat this weekend.
Ooh. So. You know what I was thinking was I could maybe modify a Dipped Infinity and do it that way.
You totally could.
Because the Dipped Infinity is supposed to be 7 colors. This is only 5. So I bought a gradient kit too. That was what I got. So it's 5 colors, like 127 yards each.
658 yards total,
yeah.
I believe. And she doesn't have them on her shop. She just had them for the show. So
they're really cute, and I was staring at them all weekend, so I finally got one. Mine is sort of like gray blues.
Mine's purple, just like Sonia's, because I saw hers first and decided that's what I wanted. So.
It was super fun. I mean, I was there for the opening night with Kathy. We set up the opening night. They opened the market for the registered students that first night. And then that night I got to hang out with Kate and Courtney from Fiber Company, from Kelbourne Woolens.
Who I met on Saturday before they left.
And
super nice. You're like super petite. And I was like, oh my God, you're so tiny.
Yeah. and Gudrun Johnston did a book signing with us. And she was there, and just a bunch of people. I'm like already forgetting everybody I saw.
Amy Dachin came by and hung out at our booth for a while. She's super hilarious.
She's awesome.
I apologize because she didn't bring me a pen. I'm like, it's cool.
So she prints up these pens that are, so Amy, if you've ever met Amy, you already know this. Her signature color is purple, and she's like purple everything, purple shoes, purple clothes,
purple in her
purple
hair.
Car, purple hair. And she prints, custom made these pens a couple years ago that are purple, and it says, I am Amy Dachin's favorite knitter. And she was giving them out at TNA, and her favorite story is that she gave one to Barbara Walker, because Barbara Walker was there signing DVDs, was it last summer or summer before last? I can't remember. And Amy said, I printed these just for you, and which is her usual gag with them. And then she said, you know, I had to get another, whatever it is, like $499 to go with it. But this one, you know, it's just for you. But she gave it to Barbara Walker, and Barbara Walker was the only person who did, like, thought she meant that she really had done that. I was really, really touched. But, it was great to see Amy, and there were just so many people there. Susan Anderson was there. She spoke at the Knitters Guild the night before.
Oh, yeah. She's a riot.
We headed down, and she did a great talk at the Guild.
She did. It was amazing. She had so many samples, too, from her new book.
Yeah, and from all of her books. And yeah. She just had so much cute stuff, and she's just really generous with her information, and she just is a really warm, lovely person.
She has a really good speaking personality. Like, yeah. It's very...
You feel like you're hanging out with a friend, yeah. You know, who's telling you all about knitting.
She's super approachable.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Just totally down to earth. And her the story about how she got her book published was amazing. That yeah. She, I guess, had worked up a set of patterns for a yarn shop she had been working at, but the shop had closed. So she'd put some of the patterns together with a proposal to write a book and sent it to one publisher, and a couple weeks later got a letter back saying, yeah, okay, we'll make your book. And that was it.
Because that's how it happened.
So, yeah.
That's crazy.
And now she just did her fourth book with
them.
Topsy-Turvy Inside Out Toys.
Yeah.
Which are all the reversible toys.
They're adorable.
So cute. But, yeah, she's awesome. And there are just so many neat people there. I didn't see Anna Hrasevich, but... she was there, and she'd done a presentation, and I don't know if she taught classes, but she was one of the artists who'd done an installation, so she did installation of snowmen versus gnomes that was this hilarious, like, diorama where this whole story progresses where, like, you've got, like, the gnomes, like, going at the snowmen with torches, and the snowmen, like, rolling the gnomes up into snowballs.
Making the weapons of mass destruction, which was a giant snowman.
Yeah, I mean, there was just so much in it, and... just weird. It was great. And some of the other art installations there were really cool too. The woman who does the knitted glass. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was incredible. And there were, you know, there was sort of like site people doing like kind of yarn installations on site. And so there was a lot going on. It was really, really a lot of fun. I never left the marketplace, so I mean, but I heard reports from people that they were enjoying their classes. And yeah, it was just kind of, it was a whirlwind though, because it's just like 2 days in one evening. But that was awesome.
Yeah, so the other thing I got beside that gardening set for Melanie was, I got a skein of her Lilt sock, which is a super nice, very round sock yarn that has mulberry silk in it, which I had knit in that Rockefeller shawl.
Yeah.
The Hedwig color that looks like birch trees. Mm-hmm. And I got this, like, super dark, kind of purpley red. And she also had these huge skeins of Targi.
Yeah, I thought about getting that.
Yeah,
that
was nice. It's a bulky weight. It's 430 yards.
And I love Targi.
Yeah, and it's super bouncy, and I still have it out. I just keep looking at it like, you want to be one of those big, long cowls, you know?
Yeah.
Because you won't have to weave in any ends, because it's so much bulky weight yarn.
Yeah.
And it will go really fast, and... I got it in the Phoenix Rising color, which is like orange and orangey red.
Oh, right. Yeah, like really vivid.
I saw she was rewinding it, and I was like, you need to throw that over here. She just like flung it across the aisle, and I had such a good time.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It really does feel like a long time ago.
It feels like a million trillion years ago, because we just had the anniversary sale this past weekend at the shop.
Yeah. Well, I was there for opening night, because we were going out to dinner. A group of our, a smaller group of our knitting group people were going out for Dine Out for Life for the HIV AIDS benefit thing. So we all decided they wanted to go to the sale first. Yes. I just stood around, gave people advice. Actually did help a couple people while I was there. And drank some kava.
There you go.
It was good.
Yeah. And
then LYS tour is next.
Yeah, LYS tour.
And our retreat is this weekend.
We're going to our retreat this weekend, and then LYS tour is in another 2 weeks. It's just one thing after another, and then
it's summer. Whew.
Yeah, and then TNNA. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
oh. Oh, I met Laura Nelkin, too. Because you know a bunch of people from TNNA.
Right. Well, yeah, Laura is the designer. She used to work for Schaefer Yarns, and...
she has a lot of beaded stuff.
Yeah, she and I went to elementary school together, and she recognized me when you were a teen. And I'm sure I've told you guys the story already about that before, but that's our favorite. That's like our shtick when we're at any kind of event, like, we went to elementary school together. Tell them the story, Laura. You know, like, we just, like, tell everybody that story. It is pretty incredible that she recognized me after all this time. But, yeah, no, there was just a ton of people there, and it was a lot of fun. All right. Well, do you want to talk about what you've been knitting?
Yeah. Let's see. I only had two things on the needles.
What?
Because I've been trying to be, like, focused on things and, like, finish them. I put on, of course, I put all these, like, crazy deadlines on myself. So
crazy deadlines.
I mean, I finished a lot of stuff, but right now I only have two things on the needles. One are the sock that I cast on last night at knitting, which is going to be the gentleman's half hose in ringwood pattern, which always freaks me out because I always think ringworm pattern, which is really, really gross. Yeah, it's just, it's from Knitting Vintage Socks. And Noah's birthday is next Monday. They won't be done by then, but I wanted to show him the yarn and stuff. So
you knit a whole pair of socks with a treat last year.
That was heavier weight. Yeah, that was the socks that rock medium weight, I think.
But you did knit the whole pair while we were at the retreat.
Yeah. But
we're all going to be disappointed if you don't do it again this year. No.
Well, I already started them, so maybe I'll finish the second one. We'll see.
It's just like a texture
pattern. It's right now I just did knit two, purl two ribbing. But it's knit one, purl one around, and then knit two rows, or two rounds. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do for the whole thing. So it's just a little textured, stretchy pattern. And I am using Hazelnuts Artisan Sock in the December Yarn Club color from this past December, which is called Pine Forest, I think. Or pine something. Silver pines? I don't know. Something it's kind like of a silvery, piney green. Yeah.
Silver piney.
I wanted to show it to him because it's a semi-solid, not a solid.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yes. And he said yes. Okay.
He approved.
And then I am doing some sample knitting for Cerulea.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I have the back of the thing done. It's a top, but I have the back done. I'm working on the front. That is in Neighborhood Fiber Company. It's at her whatever her fingering silk, 100% silk base is called. Oh. In the Truxton Circle color, which is a purple.
Yes.
It's pretty. So I'm working on that. And that kind of has a deadline. Not a firm one, but I'm trying to get it done as soon as I can.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to alternate, like, work on it every night, but then also work on something else.
Something
in
the
evening. Yeah.
So it doesn't feel too...
So it doesn't feel like homework.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I have homework that I don't do. So those are the two things I'm working on. I did some crochet squares for that Bears Rainbow Blanket last weekend. I did, like, two more of those.
Well, I'm trying to crochet while I talk to you, and it's not working very well because I mean, I can talk or I can crochet, but I can't quite do both. So I'm going to put my crochet down.
Okay.
Do you want to
do your whips?
And yeah, I can do my whips.
Yeah.
So I did that green tube I was talking about where I made it into a baby vest, and I steeked the armholes, and I put the edging on, all that. The only thing I have left to do on it is to clean up the steeks because they're a mess. I did really sloppy crocheted steeks in yarn that I totally couldn't see, and then I ended up, like, cutting the steeks really badly. But so I need to catch all the loose little tufts underneath with sewing thread and then put a button on it, and then it is done. And then I started a retro prep sweater. I have knit at least two of them before.
I've seen one of them.
The purpley stripe one. Because I knit one in, like, not typical me colors years ago. Like, trying to get out of my color rut. And I used, like, yellow and orange. And I never wore it because I hate those colors. So I don't know what I was thinking. Like, somehow I'd magically, like, love those colors now that the sweater was done. Also, I knitted in, like, Alon's Peruvian Highland wool
which
or something.
Which prickles like crazy.
Which prickles like crazy.
Oh, really?
I mean, I am pretty tough about wool against my skin.
My cardigan for Arwen, super modified one that I did, is made out of that, and I don't have a problem with it. I mean, Maybe it's just a color feels thing.
All prickly on my skin. I don't know. It's also, it's really old stuff. I mean, it's from way before you were a knitter. So, way before. And so, you know, maybe that batch was different.
Yeah, or maybe they changed their...
They found softer sheep or something. I don't know. But not...
You're out. You, come over here. Yeah. You're soft. You're in.
But so I'm knitting it in taking the deep stash to heart, I'm knitting it in a mix of Dale Halo and Falk. The Falk I bought, not Falk, Hawk, which is a discontinued one they did. But it's just like Halo and Falk, but not machine washable. And I bought the yarn for it at the first ever annual sale the Fiber Gallery had. So
that's a long time ago.
8-year-old stash. And the problem was I bought it in like a dark, dark green and two shades of gray. And then I never knitted, and I realized it was because... And I almost sold it at the stash sale at my November retreat. Mm-hmm. And my friends were all like, no, it's nice, it's nice. Maybe if you swapped out one of the colors for something a little punchier. And then I was like, oh, well, we still have some Halo at the shop in a more leaf green than this dark, dark, drab kind of army green. Mm-hmm. So I sold... So a woman sitting across me is like, well, I'll take that green. So I sold it to her on the spot. And then I went home and got the leaf green from the shop. It's still not, like, singing to me. It's pretty straightforward. Also, like, just what my life needs is another gray and green sweater. but I started it, and I'm, like, at the waist now. It's bottom-up construction. It's going to be steeked. The other thing, too, I remember, so when I knit my first one... Actually, I think when I knit both of them, I didn't make any modification for it, but it doesn't have any short row shaping to raise the back of the, or any kind of shaping to raise the back of the neck. And actually, the other thing, weird thing about it too, is the pattern is written, has no, you're supposed to steek it, but it doesn't have you like create extra stitches for the steek. Mm-hmm. Like it just expects you to knit it with an even number of stitches on the front and the back and then cut the front open. And so I added steek stitches to it, and I think I did that the last time I knitted too. But with the straight pattern, it's like a bit of a puzzle. Like, where do you stick the short rows? You know, anywhere you put them, you're going to end up with stripes that are a different width on the back of your sweater than on the front of your sweater. I don't think anyone will really notice. And I think I was struggling with the same issue at the retreat last year because I knit another stripey sweater in the round that didn't have any.
The Margot, right?
Yeah, that really modified
Margot. Kind of Margot.
But I think with that one, I ended up just throwing in some short rows like in the neck edging. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I didn't throw the stripes off. But I think on this one, it's a finer gauge and I don't think that'll be enough of an adjustment. So I think I'll just throw in a few short rows and have a few stripes on the back there a little bit longer. I don't think anyone will notice. And my colors are not super high contrast. So it isn't going to be like, you know, pink, black, you know, bright blue. And then, oh, why is that bright blue one so wide or something? So I don't think it'll be a big deal. But I'll have to look at it when I get to that point. And there's one other thing I'm doing. What am I doing? I've been on this like tear, which I'll tell you about when we talk about FOs, on knitting hand spun. And I had this little ball of 100% bison that I spun at a class in Madrona several years ago. And I only had about 70 yards. It's maybe a sport weight. So I did a Ravel research and someone did like a little pair of baby socks.
Oh yeah.
I squished
the yarn last night. It's super soft.
Based on, the February baby sweater lace pattern. So super simple, really, really fast. The yarn is so nice, so I keep saying, like, as I'm working on it, that I'm going to have to wait for someone to have a very special baby to get the hand-spun bison socks, because they are not just for any baby. It doesn't show off the pattern particularly well, but there's not that... I mean, there's such tiny socks.
Fancy baby socks.
There's only, like, two lace repeats on the front of the leg and two on the back, and it's only a 7-stitch lace repeat, so there's not a lot going on pattern-wise anyway, so... You can't really see it all that well with all the fluff, but that's okay.
All right.
Am I boring you?
No, I'm just tired. So I have... Surprise! Lots of FOs.
Yeah.
So, I am... Besides our deep stash knit-along that we're doing, I'm also doing the Use It or Lose It challenge on Stash and Burn, where you kind of focus on these yarns that you haven't knit with, and then if you decide, whatever, they're not speaking to you for whatever reason, you decide to destash that somehow. Mm-hmm. So you're going to use it, or you're going to
get rid of it.
Finally. However old this stash is. So I dug out all my Knit Picks palette.
Oh, yeah.
And decided that I was going to try and focus on that this mm-hmm. year. Because it's not like it's, like, super horrible yarn. It's just, like, you know, I got...
There's just so much of it.
There's a lot of it. I started out with, like, 15 skeins when I first bought it in 2007. So it was, like, when I first started
reading. And now you have about 13.
No, I have, like, 10.
Oh,
so, all right.
Progress.
Yes. And I've used some of it in different projects, so it's varying yardage, but each little 50 gram ball has like 200 yards in it or 230 yards in it. So I pulled it all out and I was looking at it and I was like, well, I kind of like these bright colors together. And that's the other thing, is the palette that I purchased is like, I don't know what crazy thing I was gonna make, but the colors don't really go together. Like, some of them do, but some of them don't. And it's like from dark colors to like bright. So I pulled out three colors and I just knit a little color work hat for Audrey, that I think I'm gonna publish as a free pattern, but I have to chart it and stuff first, and I think I need to make it a tiny bit bigger. It's pretty snug on her head, mm-hmm. but it basically like makes her look like her head look like an Easter egg. It's like a spring green color and then two shades of pink that are zigzag,
yeah,
like a zigzag color work. It's pretty cute, though. She likes it.
You call it, like, the vintage egg hat or something.
Yeah, and it's only, like, 150 yards of sock weight.
Yeah.
It's not that much. No. But it's cute.
Yeah. So you just, now you can knit, like, 10 billion of them.
Well, on the other stuff, too. And I think I might do different sizes. I'll size it up and I'll size it down. Mm-hmm. I haven't really done that before, so.
Oh, cool.
That'll be good practice. And use up more of that yarn.
Yes.
And I finished Diffraction, which I was knitting last time. Uh-huh. It's a rectangular stole that you use Judy's Magic Cast on to start, and you knit out in a stripe pattern. And it's like bright green and like a blue mm-hmm. Teal color. And I finished that. And I had to do the I-cord bind off in sections.
Oh,
like, man. It was so many stitches.
I didn't realize there was an I-cord bind off all the way around that.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
I know. You go up from a size 6 needle to a size 9 needle, so it has lots of stretch.
You got me yawning now. Sorry.
But I sat down. I did it in, like, 30 or 40 minute increments where I would like do some and then like put it away and then do some, put it away. And it took me like 2 evenings and then part of a Saturday or something. It was ridiculous, but I like it a lot.
Yeah. It's pretty.
I think I'm going to block it longer next time just cause.
So it doesn't roll on the edge.
It does a little bit, but not that badly. Not like I was expecting.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cause with stockinette, like just one little I-cord isn't going to really stop that all from curling.
Yeah. And I let it dry really thoroughly, too. So, that's not that bad. I mean, I'm sure as I wear it, it'll curl more. Yeah. But
then it won't matter because it'll just be a big colorful thing around your neck.
Yeah, exactly. Now that we're supposed to have 70 degree weather this weekend.
it's only supposed to be 60 in Port Townsend, so.
Okay. And I knit Beamish by Woolly Wormhead from her Bambini's book. I just, besides my palette stash, the other stash I'm sick of is my bag of leftovers. That's not all of it. I have, like, a ton of, like, partial balls and stuff. So I just pulled 2 things out. One's, like, a DK and one's, like, a light worsted. And just knit this little hat in, like, a couple of evenings.
Was it bean-ish or beam?
Beam with an M.
Oh, okay.
As in mouse. Beamish. Okay. And it's supposed to have, like, these little I-cord thingies at the top, and I left that out because I don't like it.
So it's like a really deep garter edging, and then
you knit the crown.
Yeah,
a little bit of stockinette in the contrast color, and then you decrease for the crown.
Yeah, so the rim or the edging and the
body of the hat are two different colors.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really great. Actually, there are quite a few patterns in that book that have, I mean, it's low yardage because it's kids' hats, but that you could do with, like, small amounts of mm-hmm. stuff. So, because I was trying to decide which one to do, and I was like, well, this one's garter, and I want to watch this show. So oh. I'm just going to do this one.
Do you do the garter in the round, or do you do it flat and then stitch it?
You do it in the round, but you could do it flat and then seam it together. Yeah. Yeah, but it's super easy.
Yeah.
And that took out, like, I finished the red, or I have a super tiny, small amount, but I found another skein of that red, so maybe I'll do another one. And I still have a little bit of the gray, so I might just make a couple more of those in the exact same thing. They'll be charity hats.
Yeah.
Oh, and Aunt Molly, the Molly hat. That's right there. It's drying.
Oh.
It's in, it's a free pattern by Erin Ruth, and it's, like, texture with a cable, one fat cable.
Oh, okay. I've seen that one.
Yeah. And I just use some of my leftover Tasha Vintage in the saffron color from my pullover that I just finished.
Cool. Does that use it all up?
No, it's, like, 175 yards or something. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Because that the cable eats up a bit of yarn. And it's pretty big.
I mean,
it's supposed to be slouchy, and I didn't even do... I think I left out a couple of the repeats of the... Mm-hmm. I figured it out so I can make it slightly shorter, because that vintage will grow. It gets, like, really slouchy.
Yeah.
So... And... last night at knitting, I finished the Cadence socks by Very Busy Monkey.
Oh, right.
I haven't blocked them yet or anything.
We're having a Very Busy Monkey knit along in our knitting group. And when I say we're having, I mean Erin knit her socks.
Yeah. Well, I think Jean's knitting something, too.
I think, actually, Jody is, too, right?
Yeah, I think...
Jody's doing...
Well, she has socks. A bunch of patterns. It's just kind of an open-ended thing.
Yeah.
And the Cadence socks are a free pattern. She had them for some yarn club or something that she did, and now they're free.
Cool.
It's a fun pattern. It's all charted. It's like, it's not cables, but it's kind of a yarn over and decrease pattern to it's kind of lacy, and then these sections of ribbing kind of cross over each other mm-hmm. without doing actual cables. And I used some old stash, my first ever Miss Babs purchase.
Oh, right. Yeah. In that cute minty color.
Yeah. It's a minty green, which Noah doesn't like. He's like, I like that sock pattern, but I don't really care for that color. But he says that to me all the time.
Good thing they're not for Noah.
I know. They're for me.
That's right.
The yarn is called, or the color is called Coventry, and it's Miss Babs.
Yummy.
Yummy. Whatever. Her sock base, one of her sock bases is. And I have a little bit of that left too. But I bought that yarn in like 2007 or 2008, like a long time ago, before Miss Babs was like a thing, I think. I like searched the internet.
Online?
I bought it online.
Oh, okay.
And because I was looking for semi solid yarns, because I decided like semi solid yarns are what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still when I was like a little bit shocked by the. Like 20 plus ish dollar skein of yarn.
Yeah, you're like, over that now.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So I ordered it online, and then I ended up getting Amanda a skein of that yarn for her birthday in like an aubergine, which is like a pinky purple color.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a real eggplant color, more on the red purple. But I like them.
Yeah.
I like them a lot. And my friend Andy, my internet friend. Hello, Andy. I stalk her blog because I like it a lot. And she listens to the podcast. So she's hello. Like, I stalked you first. She is also knitting those socks.
Ah. Okay.
And one of her friends on Ravelry, I'm not sure who is knitting them as well. So it's like kismet.
An unofficial Cadence along.
I know. It's a great pattern. It's well written.
Good.
And then I knit my swap project, which I can't talk about.
Can't talk about it. But we can talk about it next time.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep, that's what
is
I...
Is that your list?
That's my list.
Okay. My list is... I finished the grain white tube I was knitting the last time. And it's super snuggly and warm and lovely.
That's classically their Mountain View...
Blackthorn.
Black...
Yeah, the 50-50 alpaca and wool. I did my swap project, which I can't talk about. Then I got obsessed with knitting with my hand spun. I don't know what made me like think of it first, but I pulled out a skein. I think I had a bag of like kind of deep stashy idea stuff, and one of them was this ball of hand spun from 2006 that I think was like a wool mohair, I think, or I don't even remember now. And just did the old like Ravelry search for, and it's really bulky stuff. So I did a Ravelry search and found a project called Winchester Hat by Mrs. Moon. That's a free pattern. It's just like a really simple hat done in super bulky yarn with a ribbing and then a knit two together yarn over. So you get kind of like the diagonal.
Oh, okay.
Lines, but I was supposed to do it in bigger needles. I think it was written to be done on 17s, and then I went through my needles, and the biggest double points I have are 11s, so I just knitted on my 11s, so it's a kid's hat, and it's not as, you know, slouchy and loose and nice as it could be, but it wasn't great yarn to begin with, because it's like my old hand spun, and I didn't know what I was doing. when I spun it, I knew what I was doing now, but it's cute, and I brought it to the shop for the charity group, and then I was like, what else can I do with hand spun? And I pulled out this skein of yarn that has been kicking around in my stash again since about 2006 that I spun from, I'm sure I've talked about it before, there's a local yarn processor, Northwest yarn processor, she's down in Oregon, called Dawn's Custom Carding. God, I said that like such a New Yorker. Dawn's Custom Carding. Okay. Whoa, I don't know where that just came from. Woo, shake it off.
That
okay.
That's pretty awesome. Whee. That doesn't come out that much. No.
I think I was listening to a news report from Queens when I was in the car about some high school that has just adopted. They think they're the first public high school, or public school, not, it's an elementary, to adopt an all-vegetarian menu for their students, but they had the principal talking, and that maybe that got that in my head. Anyway, Dawn, who's in Oregon, not from New York, and so she sells at Oregon Flock and Fiber and Black Sheep, and I love, and she just does these sort of random bats, like, because she does custom processing, as the name suggests, and then with leftover stuff, she'll just dye it random colors and throw it in the carding machine and card off these little bats of just really randomy stuff, and then sells them for a pittance, and they're so much fun to spin, because since it's all carded and all just this big mixed up mess of stuff, there's no way to spin a consistent smooth yarn out of it. Mm-hmm. You have to spin a textured yarn, and so you can spin it, for those of you who wanted me to talk more about spinning, here, I'll talk a little bit about spinning. You can spin it long draw instead of spin, so a woolen spun instead of a worsted, which is like my favorite way to spin, because it's like incredibly fast. It's just like pulling taffy. Like, you get it on the bobbin and you just pull against the bobbin. People who are really good at it do it just with one hand, you know, where you can just like shoot, 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 and pull your arm back. And so when I'm feeling like, oh, I just need like a palate cleanser when it comes to spinning, I love taking one of these bats and just like zwing, zzz, and spinning like just a really big puffy two ply out of it. But this one I got, this was again like maybe back around 2006. I did try to spin fine, and I think I probably didn't know well enough as a spinner how challenging it would be to spin a fine yarn out of it, because this one has a lot of silk in it, and the silk is in big chunks. Yeah, and so it's this very slubby yarn. It's like bright blue with chunks of white in it and chunks of other stuff in it. The silk's undyed, so it's like that really white that you get from silk. And anyway, so I tried using it for a crochet project. It looked ugly. I tried it for a different knitting project. I didn't like it. So I had a customer in the store a couple weeks ago who was using Evelyn Clark's Knitting Lace Triangles and was knitting a shawl. And I'm like, I love that book, and I haven't used it in so long. So, because the only shawl I ever knit completely from the book was for a shop model rather, and then the yarn got discontinued, and then the owner of the shop kept the shawl, and so it's like, I don't have my shawl anymore. So I just thought, oh, I'm just going to do one of those, and just started going. And so I ended up picking, there's four patterns in the, like four stitch patterns in the book. So I just did the ripple stitch all the way along. And at the very end, I did one repeat of the medallion. So just because the ripple and the medallion are kind of, they work together.
Yeah, they you don't flow have really
to,
well.
You don't have to do an extra transition between those two patterns. But I miscalculated the number of rows that I had already knit, and so I realized I was going to run out of yarn and couldn't knit the edging. So I just basically did like the medallion and a couple rows just in garter stitch, and then bound off really loosely and blocked it out. And it blocked out to a really nice size.
Yeah, like it's a good size.
Good wingspan on it. And it doesn't look like it's going to curl too badly either, at least so far, which is nice because I thought it would curl pretty badly without any kind of edging on it.
Yeah.
But so I was really pleased with that and very happy to use that yarn finally. It was just one of those yarns where I was like, I could never figure out what it should grow up to be. But so then I was inspired and grabbed another skein of hand spun. And this was like a wool mohair and knit Ottoman Garrison, which is a Kate Gagnon Osborne pattern from Kelborn. And it's just a like kind of a leaf motif pattern. I think it's supposed to be the same stitch pattern as Springtime Bandit, but I never knit that shawl, so I don't, I didn't recognize it. But it's a top-down leaf motif hat. So similar ideas like foliage, except the increases you use on the hat are this, like a knit one yarn over knit one that, so that get knit into. So there's not a lot of like open spaces to define the leaves. So they're very subtle.
Yeah, because I knit Springtime Bandit and it's not, it's not super open lacy. I mean, you can see it. It's more kind of organic and less lacy looking.
And yeah, there's not like spaces between the leaves, I guess is what it is. That's like they're very interlocked. And then I did it in this very dark, it's like this dark blue green, and it's kind of fluffy, and so it's not great stitch definition, but again, it's like I knew it wasn't going to be like the perfect yarn for it, but it worked out really nicely. I tried to bring it to knitting last night, but I could not get the freaking thing to dry. It was sopping wet for the longest time. And after I blocked it, because I was blocking it on a dinner plate to get a nice, like, kind of, you know, get the leaves all nice and flat. And then I even threw it in the dryer for, like, 15, 20 minutes with a towel load. Still kind of damp. And then this morning I went to take pictures. It was still a little soggy around, like, the, you know, the bottom that where I had it resting. So that sucker holds water really well. But that's done. And then last night at knitting, I finished my tide line from the landing book, which I've been working on like since November. It's a knit in bunny yarn from Taki, which it doesn't have any bunny in it. It's this alpaca wool blend.
The pattern's by Bristol Ivy.
Bristol Ivy in Cecily Glock McDonald's landing book, where it's just like a big cowl with this sort of meandering cable. It's big. It's really big, meandering cable pattern. So I soaked it last night. It's still completely drenched. I need to give it a good dry, and then I think I need to block it. You're supposed to block it before you do the three-needle bind-off, but that was just too fussy for me. So I think I'll just block it and hang something on it to kind of pull it down and get it nice and even, because the edges are a little roughly. And I think that is it.
That's a good list.
Yeah, I thought so. But now I'm like, I was just saying to Aaron before we started recording, I'm totally losing my mind over the idea of going to this retreat of like, what do I bring? I could bring this, I could bring that. And I'm running around grabbing all this stuff. It's like, dude, you're only going away for the weekend.
Yeah.
But I just like, I want to knit all the things. And I last night was going completely nuts. I pulled all my hands, like all of my hand spun out. And had it covering the dining room table and was like, what can I do with this? What about this? This? And I just was making myself completely insane. And finally had to like be like, you have to go to bed because you are going insane. Go to bed.
Yeah, I'm going to take these socks for Noah. And then I'm going to take the Fire, which is what I'm knitting with my gradient set.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me. It's a pattern by Irish Girly Knits. And it's like a and the long cowls, and a like a chevron.
So you're just doing little stripies?
Yeah.
Do you carry the yarn along the side, or do you have to keep breaking it?
Well, I don't know. I haven't bought the pattern yet.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. But it's like it's made for stripes. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to do.
I've been thinking maybe.
I'm going to do the gradient stripe. And I'm not sure if I'm going to blend the end of one into the next one or not.
Because I've been seeing a lot of patterns lately that are, and by lately I mean like for the last like 3-4 years, that are like striped sweaters where the striping doesn't go all the way down the length of the sweater, where like the bottom, you know, 6 or 8 inches might mm-hmm. be plain and ditto on the sleeves. And I thought, oh, I could do that. Like just stripe the gradient mm-hmm. as far as it would take me and then go and just do plain for the rest of it and do like a top down.
What would you use for the other color?
I don't know. I'd have to get something for it to go with it. And maybe something a little more colorful because the gradient I have is pretty subdued. But I don't know, I was thinking about that, and then I started going, but what about this or this or this? And then I told myself I had to go to bed. So
I think those are the two. I mean, that's 2 sock yarn projects. I'm not sure. Depends on how far I get in my sample knitting for Cerulea. That will predicate how much I can work on the sock, which I'm working on right now. But ooh, it looks nice.
It does. Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, I'm planning on... I had an epiphany just before I left that I'm thinking I'm going to bring my Hexapuffs, which I haven't touched in years, and my African flower little crochet hexagons, because I was storing them all in the same bag, and I thought, oh, that'll be fun, and like little, you know... and then it occurred to me, Erin was showing us at knitting last night that...
An adorable pattern called Happy Potamus.
Yes. And
it's crochet.
It's crocheted hippo. It's made out of these African flower hexagons. Yeah. And then I thought, ooh, maybe I should get that pattern. And then I can use all my African flower hexagons that I've already made to make the hippopotamus.
Because it's for sock yarn.
Instead of making it into a blanket, which will take me the rest of my life.
It's adorable. And it's Heidi Bears. I think she's from South Africa. She also has like what she calls, I think, the South African violet bear, which is the same kind of motif but made into a bear. She also has a couple of knitted toy patterns. One's like a pig with a little dress. I was telling Jessica about it when she got here, with like stripy legs and little Mary Janes, and there's an elephant too. It's just adorable. But she has a bunch of crochet blocks and stuff too. So I think she's mainly a crochet person.
Yeah, so that's an idea. But I'll probably bring those, and then I'll bring the retro prep, because that's good kind of mindless knitting. But I just worried I would get really bored with it. So the Hexapuffs are fun, because you kind of get that satisfaction of, like, done, I finished something, even though the thing you finished only took you 20 minutes to knit anyway. But it's still a good psychological boost, and using all those little scraps.
So I think starting next time, because we're already getting a little bit long, I'm going to start talking about color work, because I've gotten some questions about color work. So I'm going to break it up into little chunks, so it's not like, here's all the information all at once. So I think next time we record, I'll talk about like choosing yarn and maybe color a little bit.
Yes.
Because you've done color work too.
Yes. And I consult with that. You know, I mean, at work all the time. Yeah. I help people with that. Yeah. So I feel like I've got a bit to contribute on that too. That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, we totally haven't talked about movies or books or anything.
Yeah, God, but I was gonna say, so like distracted. in this spot, like after we talk about our actual knitting, we'll talk about color work.
Okay.
For a while. In like little
installments.
Bursts. Yeah. So look forward to that.
Yes. Why don't we do books and movies really fast?
I finished Slapstick, which I talked about last time. It's funny, but a little, what's that word?
I don't know.
Anticlimactic.
Ah.
And then I decided I was going to... And I'm still reading Song of Stone, because some of Ian Banks' prose is a little too poetic, and he goes on a little bit too much. So the story itself, like, the kernel of the story, I feel like is good. And that was the husband, but not wife. I said wife. So it's like this couple that have some interesting relationship going on, that they're trying to flee their castle, and then they get taken by a colonel, a female colonel, and her roving band of soldiers back to their castle and basically held the hostage. Uh-huh. And now they're going out into the countryside and trying to find other insurgents that are trying to take them down and trying to take them out. So kind of a war story with this sketchy, weird romantic thing going on. Anyways, so I'm still working on that. And then I decided to, for light reading, because I'm also in school, I'm reading linguistics, which makes my head hurt a lot. I'm reading the Golden Compass series by Yay. Philip Pullman, which I read a really, really long time ago, and I'm enjoying them.
Well, I don't know why I'm yanging it. I didn't ever read it, but, you know. Yeah, I know, I like it. I know it's a good light read.
Yeah. And then, not a light read at all, I started listening to Zodiac, the audiobook Zodiac.
Gosh. Ooh.
Yeah, so I'm still...
I don't think I'd want that as audiobook. Like, I don't... You know, like,
well, I listened to Helter Skelter, and I listened to, like, other...
Okay, I read Helter Skelter, stuff, so I think we talked about that one before.
Yeah. So, I'm listening to Zodiac. It's good.
Yeah.
Which prompted me to rewatch the movie.
I was going to say, whenever I think of Zodiac, I just think of that moment I had sitting in the movie theater halfway through when I went, wait a minute, they never found out who the Zodiac Killer was. And then I was like, what's going to happen here?
Well, the thing is like... My aunt lives in Vallejo, where, like, the killings happen. I'm from Northern California, so it's like that, and, like, Jim Jones and stuff. It's, like, all these crazy people are in California. I think it's because the weather is so nice. It just, like, draws all the crazy people out west.
I thought everyone said all the serial killers were in Seattle because the weather's so bad here.
It's a whole West Coast thing.
I don't know.
They're either sun people or they're rain people.
I think there's the moral and of the story people. Is that they're crazy people everywhere.
Yeah.
If you dig hard enough, you find them. So I finished a book.
Yay! You finished Bird by Bird? Is that?
Well, I finished Bird by Bird, and then I finished The Immortal Light of Henrietta Lacks, which I had started ages ago and then had to return to the library. And I was able to get an electronic copy of it and finish it before it had to be returned to the library, because you only get 3 weeks on those. I know. Huh?
2 books.
I know. I'm like, reading stuff. It's amazing. Yeah. And I even started another book. So Henrietta Lacks is a really, really interesting read. I think I already talked about it quite a bit. But it's the story. It tries to really paint a full picture of the life of the woman Henrietta Lacks and then of her whole family. She was a... poor black woman who in 1951, I believe it was, died at the age of 31 of cervical cancer, and a particularly potent strain of cervical cancer. And a doctor took a sample of her tumor, and it was one of the first tissue samples to survive in culture. And it not only survived, it thrived and went on to multiply and multiply and multiply, and even... it was discovered later to go on to contaminate other cultured cells that were being grown. And it is still used in labs all over the world for research, but her family had no idea. So there was this whole like industry and scientific community built around these cells, these HeLa cells. And they had no idea that that was even happening. And they never offered consent. They were never contacted. They were even contacted later to get like blood samples to do more studies to try to understand like what about her cells made them so special. But so it's just a really interesting but kind of sad story about this family and what this all meant for them. But it was really well written, very very interesting, a really good read.
Noah's dad gave us his book because they just read it for their reading group or something. So we have it, so I'll probably read it soon too.
And it has a knitting tie-in in that Rebecca Skloot, the author, is the daughter of Betsy McCarthy, who's a knitting designer, who's done like did a sock book and who's here in the Northwest. She's someone I know personally, and she even mentions in the acknowledgments and thanking her mother of thanking her for giving her the gift of knitting. Because it helps, you know, in bad times to have that to comfort you. But then I started another book, if you can believe it. I'm on fire here. Now I've forgotten the author's name. It's a collection of short stories. I've read like the first 2 pages of it, so I just started. But, and it is called Vampires in the Lemon Grove, and it's a collection of short stories. But the first story is actually about
A Vampire in an Italian Lemon Grove. So I think I had heard about it on NPR that it had gotten really great reviews. So, and that I really like short fiction.
Yeah.
So short fiction, it's like the Hexapuffs of reading. You know, you read a little bit, you feel like you've accomplished something because you finished something. Anyway, so I did all that. You want to talk movies really quick before we bore everybody to death?
Well, speaking of which, I watched The Evil Dead.
Original or remake? No,
the remake one.
I'm on, dun dun dun.
Yeah, Monica. What did you think? So last summer, I kind of forced, but she was okay with it.
Yeah.
Our friend Monica.
She'd never seen Evil Dead,
Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness. So we were talking about how there's a new Evil Dead movie that's out now.
That Sam Raimi tried to stop.
Well, he's an executive producer on it.
Well, he has to.
Bruce Campbell.
Right. Well, he's got an executive producer credit because he owned the property, but he actually sued to stop to keep him from releasing it, but lost.
So, it is nothing like the Evil Dead movies. I mean, like, friends in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
Like that, yes. And then there were some, like, nods to him, like, in the back of the cabin, there's, like, a rusted out car, which is, like, the same model and make that was Ash's car in Evil Dead. There's still the porch swing. There's still an angry molesting tree.
Yes.
Like, that, and, like, the close-ups of the chainsaw versus other things. But as Monica said, it's very juicy. There's lots and lots of fluids, and I have watched a ton of horror, and even I, in parts, I was covering my face.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty gross.
Because my older son has watched the Evil Dead movies and really loves them.
Yeah.
But he was asking to go see that, and I was like, no, I'm not going to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. And it doesn't even have, like, an iota of humor, really, about it.
Oh, that's too bad, because that's the best thing about the Evil Dead movies.
Yeah, it's not funny at all. No. I mean, we were laughing just at how
horrible,
like
uncomfortable.
Just watching the hacking and the
gross
effects and the blood and various fluids and stuff.
No, I don't need that gross in my life.
So we're trying to list all the different manners of violence. There's like stabbing with a hypodermic. There's a machete. There's a chainsaw. There's a hammer. There's mirror shards.
Oh.
There's shotgun. I mean, the list goes on. So, nail gun.
Oh, don't need that in my life.
So, and the dialogue is really bad. I liked it okay. It's not what I was expecting. I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be like the Evil Dead movies.
Yeah.
Andy had seen it and was like, it's nothing like that. So, but I'm kind of glad I watched it. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I watched that. And then I watched the series we were talking about last night called Call the Midwife. That's a BBC series.
And I've been watching that too.
I finished everything that's on Netflix.
I don't know what's on Netflix. I'm up to date with what's aired on PBS. So
yeah,
I don't know
if it's just the first series. It's like 6 episodes.
Oh, no, I've seen more than that.
And it's about these midwife nurses in the East End of London in the Poplar District. And they work at this,
through a convent.
It's a convent hospital where they do midwifery, and it's called Donatus House. But it's like got really great costumes because it's the 50s. But there's also, like, you know, these kind of affluent girls who did not grow up in poverty living in this neighborhood that's very poor.
Yeah.
And lots of kids. So they're busy all the time. And it's, like, some of their love life, some of their social issues, and then people having babies.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. I liked it.
It's a good show.
I really like the music, actually.
Mm.
The music and the costumes are really good.
Yeah.
But
I like it. I like it more when they try. And Vanessa Redgrave does the voiceovers of, you know, of the, Jenny, as in, you know, in her, you know, golden years looking back on her youth.
Yeah.
And her experiences, but you know, there's sort of always a moral to the story, and it's like, you know what, there isn't always a moral to the story.
This one's about
people get sick.
This one's about women having children out of wedlock.
Yeah.
This one's about what I mean, it's always something.
There's always, like, an issue. And, you know, in the way that medical dramas always seem to do, like, how fortunate we were to have this patient who had this horrific life event that could shed life on my, you know, totally mundane existence. And, oh, it really illuminates this problem I'm having with my boyfriend. Or so, but anyway, that sounds like I'm annoyed with it. But
it's pretty good.
It's a sweet show. It's a very, you know, good-natured show.
It's well done.
And well done, yeah.
So. I started watching Breaking Bad, which I enjoy, but it's also very violent.
Yes.
So I take it in doses. And the episodes are kind of long, so sometimes if I'm tired, I'm like, what's happening? I don't get this.
I gotta get back into watching it, because my older son has been watching it, and now he's past where I was in the series. So he's gonna totally ruin it for me if I don't catch up. I think
I'm in season 2 now. And then I'm still plugging along on Mad Men.
Yep.
And also Archer.
Yay, Archer!
Just hilarious.
I love that show.
And totally not politically correct.
No, it's so wrong. My older son keeps saying, can I watch Archer? And we're both like, no! Because it's just, it's naughty. It's very naughty.
I work with these guys at work, and they were talking about it. I'm like, you guys have to stop talking about this, because people could overhear you and take everything you say the totally wrong way. Even though I know what you're talking about, that you're talking about Archer, that's not work appropriate.
Yeah.
So, that's what I was watching.
So, I can't remember if I mentioned the last time. I know I mentioned that I'd watched the House of Cards series, but I don't know if I mentioned I watched Ides of March.
I just remembered something else I watched. Go ahead.
Right after watching House of Cards, I watched Ides of March, which was a George Clooney directed film, and he's in it, but it's mostly a Ryan Gosling starring role. And Gosling plays this political consultant for the Clooney character who's running for president, and it's an incredibly disappointing film.
Oh, really?
Yes. It is such a letdown. Like, everything that happens only happens because people are stupid.
Oh.
Like, you can see everything from a mile away, and then people react in ways that don't make any sense for their character.
So it's like a horror movie in that way.
Yeah, and it was really annoying because it has all the window dressing of, like, a smart film where the smart people are going to make smart choices, but instead, allegedly smart people make incredibly stupid decisions. And not even that much happens. It's one of these movies where, like, nothing really happens and then it's over and you're like, that was... I was so disappointed in it.
Good thing Ryan Gosling's pretty cute.
Yeah, but he's stupid, so you just want to smack him. I finally watched the second disc of Girls. I can't remember if I mentioned that. The first disc felt really uncomfortable. Second disc is hilarious, and I loved it. And then I was like reaching for, like, where's the third disc? But there's no third disc. There's just two discs for the first season. So I'm like, man. But I did really start to enjoy it a ton.
Is it coming back, or...?
Yeah, there's a season 2 that was on HBO, but I don't know how long before that'll come out on DVD. And then you and I both watched Hunger Games, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen it before.
Oh, you had? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I was super impressed with it. I really...
It's good.
I mean, it's so easy to envision, like, the bad version of Hunger Games movie, like the one that Chris Columbus would... direct, where everything's like totally spelled out and glossy and stupid. And instead, it was very, the word I keep falling back to is impressionistic. There's a lot of scenes that are told completely without dialogue, where you just get imagery and mood. And it does rely, I think, to a certain extent on the fact that most of the audience already knows the story. Yeah. But it also relies on the fact that you don't really need to know the details. Like, it's very smart about what it bothers to include and what it doesn't bother to include. Because it still works, even though it leaves out big chunks of the book. And then also it has that great, that very useful conceit that for most of the film, you're in the Hunger Games and there are these, like, TV correspondents reporting on what's going on. So when something comes up that in the book you would get explained to you by Katniss through narration, you have these, you know, eye in the sky voices saying, oh,
I love Stanley
that's
Tucci
that thing.
Too.
Yeah, and Stanley Tucci's in there, and Toby Jones. And I really like Jennifer Lawrence in it. And mostly I just liked the choices they made. It was a much
starker.
Yeah, I think it would have been very, very easy for them to go complete action route with that
crazy,
movie.
Crazy, over-the-top, yeah. Glossy, like Percy Jackson kind of stupid. That, yeah, but... I know. I didn't either, but my kids can't stop complaining about it, so. How it ruined the book, but yeah, it was just much, much better than I was anticipating, yeah. So that was a really nice surprise, and it's on Watch Instant right now.
Yeah. I saw posters for the next one when I went to see Evil Dead.
And then we both watched Jeff Who Lives at Home.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Which is another one of those movies.
I was expecting it to be like the when it opened, like opening scene. I just thought it was going to be this movie about this pothead who doesn't do anything.
And it's like you don't want to give anything away. We don't want to give anything away about it because you really just need to watch it. And
just got that Andy guy from The Office. I can never remember
Ed
his
Helms.
Name. Ed Helms.
Susan Sarandon, Judy Greer, Jason Segel's the leading role in it. It's directed by and written by Mark and Jay Duplass. And it's great.
That girl Kitty from the that's Arrested Judy Greer. Development. Oh, Judy Greer. Yeah. I never remember her name
It's
either.
Just great. And it's like, I don't want to tell you anything about it because it's totally going to ruin it. But it's just basically, he's this stoner kid at home and he goes to run an errand. And his day just unfolds, and it's wonderful. It's just like there's just
It's not even that long either.
No, it just it really takes you by surprise where you're just amazed.
I kept
amazed
reading
by
the
it.
Little synopsis, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
And then I was doing that whole awkward movie thing.
Yes. And that you think it's going to be that, and then it isn't.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, this doesn't fit with the rest of my genre.
I know. It's It's lovely. It's charming. It's adorable. I really, really liked it. And then the other thing I've been watching, I'm only about halfway through the first season, is Homeland, which is sort of like, I've lately been doing like pairings. So I did Zero Dark Thirty and Homeland, which leaves you with the impression that the only thing standing between us and total annihilation is one woman working for the CIA. She's the only one holding things back. But you know, Homeland's so different, though, because it's open-ended. It's a TV show. And, you know, I know it goes on for at least... I mean, they're in their second season already. So it involves people making a lot of choices where you're actually yelling at the TV, no! No! Don't do that! No! And, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to start getting more and more into it or whether it's going to start to bug me because... Everyone on this show does the absolute wrong thing every single time they have the opportunity to do the right thing. They do the wrong thing. And it's like, what are you doing? Stop. So, and also because it's a pay cable show, there is gratuitous sex and nudity just sort of shoehorned into it in ways that are comical, like absurd. Like, why did I just get shown two people having sex? Like, do they have a quota to fill? I don't understand. So it's way over the top.
Okay,
in that
well,
respect.
That will bring me to the thing I forgot to mention that I watched, which is Hemlock Grove.
Oh!
That Netflix produced TV show or
show. Is it
horrible? It is so trashy.
What's the premise even? No, I don't know.
it's poor guy moves to this town, makes friends with this kind of ritzy guy, and weird things are happening. Oh, so there's...
Ritzy guy is a werewolf or a vampire?
No.
No. No.
Well, kind of.
Yeah. But...
So, this poor kid who's a gypsy and his mom, who's Lily Taylor, move. Yeah,
Lily
I love
Taylor.
Her too. And she's actually good in it. They move into this town after the kid's uncle dies and they are living in his trailer. And shortly after they move to this town, the girls start showing up dead. Like ripped apart. And so, yeah, it's a werewolf and like mad scientist and genetic engineering and the kid, the ritzy kid, his family owns like this big medical something or other. And so there's some like, there's some like kind of.
And no one suspects a thing.
Secret power things going on. Like the doctor explains how he has super strength or something. I don't know. Yeah. It was, but there's lots of gratuitous sex, and like Noah was just walking through the room. He's like, every time I walk through the room, like walk by here, someone's having sex or is naked. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, it's really trashy. I watched all of it.
That's kind of funny, given like the other shows Netflix produced are, you know, House of Cards and the Arrested Development, which is coming up soon.
I'm so excited.
I know you are.
But it's got Franca Janssen.
Oh.
The girl from, the woman from X-Men who plays Phoenix.
Famke Janssen.
Famke Janssen.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it's got the younger, who's Eric in True Blood? Skarsgård?
Oh, yeah, Skarsgård.
The younger Skarsgård.
A younger Skarsgård.
He's the ritzy. Skarsgård. He's the ritzy guy. Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
It's really trashy. I don't know.
Like, trashier than True Blood?
Equivalent, but not as well done, I don't think.
Oh, that's too bad.
But, yeah. Okay. It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed watching it, like, at night. I'm like, yep, gonna do this. Watch this. God, it's bad. So.
Yeah, one of those shows you don't bother to pause if you need to, like, go refill your tea. Or
yeah. Someone's probably just having sex, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's just fine. Yep. She'll be naked when you get back.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Oh, an Immaculate Conception. That was another thing. Yeah.
What's that?
Well, in the show.
Oh, in the show. I thought we were talking about a show called Immaculate Conception. I'm like, I have not heard of this show. Oh.
Immaculate Conception.
All right.
Werewolves. Genetic engineering. That was the other thing. I was like, I'm forgetting something. Immaculate Conception.
That is peculiar.
Okay. It's very odd. It's based on a book, apparently.
I don't know if I'll be watching that, but...
Nope, I don't think you will.
No. Okay. All right, that was a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back next time, maybe with a little less yakety-yakking about this and a little talking we'll about color work.
Yeah, color work, and we'll have Alana's book, Botanical Notes, to review. That's right. So.
That's right. I was just looking at it today.
Me too.
Okay, that's it. Cool. All
right, so I will start new threads for our Deep Stash Knit Along. And you can find us on Ravelry on the Double Knit Podcast Fans Group.
And show notes at doubleknit.net. I just realized the other day that I published the last show without notes because I just wanted to get it on the website before we left for our retreat. And I never went back and added notes. So hopefully I'll get to that. But
we'll see. Whatever. You guys are forgiving.
Yes.
It's okay. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.